Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues, a daily radio broadcast where we are unfearful of facing some of the issues that most refuse to discuss and or to confront. But as we do so, we must tell you that we face the issues based on the authority of the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. You see, Jesus himself said, "Thy word is truth," speaking of the Word of God, John 17:17. He had already warned his disciples, or told his disciples, or cautioned his disciples, and it is in that sense. "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. It is so interesting to me so often that people want to know the truth, and they seek for truth outside the Word of God. You see, there are the philosophers today, those that are called the ideologues, that feel that somehow, some way, they have a grasp on truth. It's one of the problems we find, ladies and gentlemen, in Washington today. That's some of the problems we find in Tallahassee and in Duval County here in Jacksonville, is those that claim to recognize and to represent the truth have not sought for the truth in the right places. Truth is an issue, is a subject, is a word that is highly elusive in society today. So we face the issues based on the a biblical worldview, and that is coming from the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Before we get into the monologue, let me just simply invite you to worship with us this Sunday, First Conservative Baptist Church. Our Bible study hours at 9:30 on Sunday morning. Morning worship services at 10:45. Evening worship at 7 p.m. We'd love to have you be our special guest at one of those services, even this Sunday. We're delighted to have you. Oftentimes, we have the privilege of meeting you, part of our listening audience, as you come to worship with us, and it's our delight, our privilege, and our joy to have you in the pulpit, in the pew, as we preach the Word of God Sunday after Sunday. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, exactly 1 mile south of I-295, right here in the heart of Mandarin. So let me encourage you to be our special guest even this Sunday. By the way, let me just give you a few of the topics that in the days before us that we prayerfully plan to cover so that you can be listening intently as these issues come up. Sometimes other issues come up on the top priority list, if you will, and so we digress from these. But we're going to be looking at some of the issues in the future. What about modifying the Scripture? Do we have the authority to modify the Scripture according to the Word of God? Is that an authorization that we have if we're not authorized to do so? Why is it that we find so many today that do that? Another subject that we'll look forward to covering in the days before us and some perhaps next week. As a nation, are we going to pot? Yes, I'm talking about the pot smoking and the marijuana advocates. We're watching a collision about to take place now between the states and the federal government in relationship to that. So we're going to be talking about that. Should Christians confront false prophets? Should Christians take a stand and call out false teachers and false prophets and confront them and the false theology? What about the right to die? The number of folks, even Christians, that think that it is all right for us to make the determination to be dispatched, and that there's a right to die. We have about seven states now that have right to die laws. So what about that? Is it biblical? What should we do as Christians? Another one of the issues that we'll talk about, the coming Antichrist. When will this happen? Who will he be? How would you recognize him? What does the scripture say about the Antichrist? Will Jesus truly reign for 1,000 years on this earth? It's called the millennial reign. Is it real? Is it biblical? There are a lot of people today, some theological, high-profile theological preachers today, disagree with and disbelieve in the 1,000-year reign. It's called the millennial reign of Christ. Once saved, always saved. Is that a true statement? There are a lot of people that agree and some disagree. We're going to be looking at a whole litany of those issues. But today, I want us to talk about the decision that President Trump has made to make Jerusalem the capital of Israel. Now, we've talked about this issue before, but I want to have a little different nuance today in our discussion of that, because I've had so many people ask the question about it and have the dialogue and discussion about it. And perhaps you've heard a lot by way of television and radio and other news media outlets about it. Let me just share with you by way of introduction to that thought a couple of news articles here. Here is one that says a Texas imam calls for Israelis' destruction. And he praised it in Arabic. Following President Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital, a Texas-based Islamic cleric has posted a recorded prayer on his Facebook page calling for Israel's total destruction, along with all of their allies and those who assist them and those who allow them into the abodes of the Muslims, end quote. Part of his prayer as he prays to the false god Allah, he says, O Allah, deflect them with what you will. Defeat them however you will. O Allah, save us from the hands of the accused violators, whom you have cursed in every book, and cursed them through every prophet. He said in conclusion, O Allah, destroy all of them. And then here's another article. It says, a major world leader threatens to wipe out all Jews. And he's talking about president, the Turkish president. He says that certainly this needs to be done. He says that thinks himself as a man of action. And he said, those who think that they own Jerusalem better know that tomorrow they won't be able to hide behind trees. This is Erdogan and his statement. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we have been watching, we've been witnesses to what is taking place with the in relationship to the president making a determination that Jerusalem is going to be considered by Americans as the capital of Israel. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, since that announcement was made, it's just simply moving the embassy from Tel Aviv, Israel, to Jerusalem. And may I remind us, and this has been 51 years since the first designated, 1966, 51 years here since it was first designated by then President Harry Truman, and that is that the embassy is in Tel Aviv and has been that for this period of time. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, today both the Israelis and the so-called Palestinians claim the city as their political capital and their religious site. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, since May 14, 1948, when Israel was reconstituted as a nation, it was 2,500 years that they were in diaspora. That is, they were dispersed around the globe. But when May 15, 1948 took place, it was the fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 37, when the Valley of Dry Bones stood up, sinew and muscle and tissue placed on those dry bones. Go back and study the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. By the way, 37th chapter of Ezekiel is not talking about the church. Heard a dear preacher in this city some years ago waxing eloquently on Ezekiel 37. And he said the church is the valley of dry bones, and that God is wanting to see the dry bones stand up and meat and sinew and muscle and tissue be placed on those dry bones, and that's God's calling for the church to be revived. That's simply not true. That's allegorization of the scripture. But in reality, it was the prophetic text pointing to the day that Israel would again become a nation. And ladies and gentlemen, that's happened. And since May 14th, 1948, we've seen Israel go through war after war after war. In fact, immediately after May 14th of 48 was the Six-Day War. 1967, there was another war, 73, 81, and several wars since then with Israel just simply trying to sustain itself and remain a viable nation, because all of the Arabic nations around them trying to destroy them and trying to prevent Israel and the Israeli people from owning, claiming, and being domiciled on the land that God gave to Israel. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, since when has it been official for some state and nations and the UN to somehow have authority over saying where Israel would have its capital? That is, the capital of Israel has always been. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, and we'll get to this a little later, it's been the capital of Israel for some 4,000 years. And yet we have those today that are trying to say that it ought not to be. In fact, in, I believe it was 1995, the Israeli Embassy Act was passed. It was to be instituted by December the 2nd of 1999. And we've had for all of these years, president after president after president, President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama, all pledged to designate Jerusalem as Israel's capital, but they did nothing. It is President Trump that is now made a decision, and I suggest it's correct decision, to designate Jerusalem as the capital and the correct headquarters for the U.S. Embassy, thereby a full recognition of Israel's right of self-governance. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the place in Israel, that is Jerusalem, being the eternal capital of Israel, the Jewish people. You can call us at 904-401-1413, 401-1413. This is a question and answer dialogue discussion broadcast. We invite your questions, your comments, and your challenge, if you will, to what would be said in relationship to any of our broadcast. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about biblical truth. This is a very serious issue that we're dealing with. This is not something that we can just nonchalantly cast aside as not having real significance in these last days. In fact, the scripture is very, very clear in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day," and it's talking about in the last days, "that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." And ladies and gentlemen, that's a prophetic text that is yet to be fulfilled in the future days, when every nation will come against the nation of Israel, will come against the Jewish people, and try to wipe out, annihilate, destroy the apple of God's eye. And God says, "I'm going to fight against every nation that fights against Israel." May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful that we have a president today that's taking a stand that, whether he realizes it or not, is fulfilling God's word, the prophetic text of God's word. And now we are recognizing Israel's right to self-governance. So the question is, should America side with Israel this issue about Jerusalem and it being the capital? My answer is yes, 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 unequivocally yes. The politically correct crowd, however, in Washington seems to continue to cling to the lie that the so-called Palestinians, the Arabs, have some kind of right to the land. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not so at all. In fact, we might want to sit back and take a little note. We have many of those in Europe that's challenging and chiding the president for the decision that he's made. Let me just give you a little rundown. Here's what's already happening in England within just a few years of opening their borders without any controls. The mayor of London is a Muslim. The mayor of Birmingham, England, is Muslim. The mayor of Leeds, England, Muslim. The mayor of Blackburn is a Muslim. The mayor of Sheffield is a Muslim. The mayor of Oxford is a Muslim. The mayor of Luton is a Muslim. The mayor of Oldham is a Muslim. The mayor of Rockdale is Muslim. Mayor Raimondo's, ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on with what's happened all over Europe, where it's under total Islamic jihadist total domination and control. And it's coming out of that part of the world that they're trying to tell America what we should do and where we should place our embassy and what city we should place the embassy in. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with those that have that mindset and philosophy, even where we have imams standing up and publicly praying to Allah that America and Israel be destroyed. I find it antithetical to anything that would be called biblical truth, and yet I find, to my sadness, many Christians today that do not understand the nation of Israel and the plan of God for the prophetic future of the world. You heard me. It's the plan of God for Israel to be an integral part in the prophetic future of this world. And there'll come a day when the church is raptured out, and the Antichrist will take a stand, and the Antichrist will try to wipe out, destroy, totally annihilate the apple of God's eye. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is when it triggers God's prophetic calendar and the clock of God, and Jesus Christ returns. Study at your leisure Revelation, the 19th chapter, beginning with verse 17 through verse 21, which is the last verse in that text. And you will discover there very quickly that when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to destroy the Antichrist and the false prophet and everyone that's taken a stand against the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says, will slay them with the sword of his mouth. That is literally the spoken word. But I want us to understand, I'm glad that we have a president that's withheld now $255 million from the Arab jihadists called the Palestinians under Mahmoud Abbas. And as a result of that, he's saying to the world, we're going to do what's right. Ladies and gentlemen, I've never understood the fact that we as American taxpayers pay our taxes, and our federal government then funds the jihadists, that is the Palestinians, with about $300 to $600 million a year of hard-earned taxpayer dollars from American purses and pocketbooks, and it's used in that sense. And with the Palestinians, every time they go into Jerusalem and kill a Jew, then that Palestinian is awarded, his family is given money for the rest of their lives if that jihadist is killed in the act of killing a Jew. And the funds that's being used for that are the funds that's being paid out of the taxpayers' coffers through the Washington elitist and being paid to the Palestinians. But the question begs to be asked, whose land is it? Who owns the land that is now called Israel? Who owns the land that is now occupied by the Jewish people? And by the way, it's just a little thin, narrow postage stamp of property, and yet it's bringing great, if you please, trembling and consternation on a global basis. Who owns the land? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3, God promised Abraham the land and the seed and the blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 5 through 8, God promised Abraham the land. Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 through 20, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, that's the old term for Jerusalem, the king of Salem, he was the king, he was the leader, he was the head of Israel, if you'd call it that, and it's Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, when Genesis 14, verse 18 and following was recorded, it's some 4,000 years ago, and Jerusalem is God's given center of Israel and all of Jewish heritage. I believe we have a caller on the line. If you will, Derwin, go ahead with your question or your statement, please.
Yes, sir. I would like to comment on your previous subject about Erdogan and Turkey being so loudly criticizing our placement of our embassy in Jerusalem. I'd like to point out to the other listeners that Turkey sided with Germany in both world wars, World War One and World War Two. And now that Erdogan, he is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. And if they want to see compromise in our defense, I think President Trump would be very wise to see that Turkey was ousted from NATO. They're the only Muslim country in NATO. And that's where our security is compromised. And I believe Obama had a lot to do with that, setup with the Muslim Brotherhood, putting them in NATO. I believe Obama was a agent of the Muslim Brotherhood. Period.
Well, he was taking care of his Muslim brothers. If you want to hear the direct truth from this preacher, I believe that he was a closet, still is a closet Islamic. I believe that everything that we saw, could witness that he was doing for the 8 years of his presidency was leaning towards setting up the Muslim Brotherhood. And by the way, the Muslim Brotherhood started in 1928. And Uma Abedin, which was Hillary Clinton's executive assistant, it is her daddy and her family that started the Muslim Brotherhood, if our listeners are not aware of that. But Derwin, you're exactly right. Turkey is not a friend.
You got to realize that Valerie Jarrett was his chief of staff, and she is of Iranian descent.
Absolutely. And right now she is part of the shadow government that is occupied right there in Washington, headed up by the Obama machine that is the shadow government, with some 30 or 40,000 henchmen at his beck and call to undermine and try to tear down and destroy everything that President Trump is trying to accomplish in making America great again. And so we have a major problem.
The Make America Great Again, MAGA, trumps DACA.
Yes, absolutely.
But anyway, enjoyed your program, and I hope people realize that they need to send in contributions to keep your program going.
That, brother, I'm glad you said that. You know, one of the most difficult things for me to do is ask anyone to supply any support. But, ladies and gentlemen, Derwin mentioned it, and so I'll pick up on that cue.
I'm going to send you $100 right now for this week.
Let me challenge others to match that contribution, ladies and gentlemen. That is a bold, bold statement. So let me encourage our listeners, Brother Derwin, if you'll rest a moment with me, let's encourage our listeners to participate. If you find this program challenging, educative, and insightful, even if it might make you angry occasionally, if it might cause you to think and study your scripture more, then well and wonderful. That's what it is designed to do. As we face issues, and we invite our listening audience to fund this program this year. You can make your contribution payable to First Conservative Baptist Church, designated for Let's Face the Issues broadcast. It is a tax-deductible contribution, and we would appreciate and be thankful for whatever you feel that God would have you to do in underwriting this program each day. Brother Derwin, thank you for your prayers, for your support, and for your kindness, and for the words that I believe are challenging to our people today. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Bye.
God bless you. Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Jerusalem being the capital of Israel for over 4,000 years now. And yet we have those in the lunatic aisle of the loose likes lost liberals, theologically speaking, and the left wingers, politically speaking, where they wanted to challenge that. But you can study the scripture and you will find that in Genesis 13, verses 14 through 17, God gave the land to Israel, and the scripture says forever, forever. So I want to ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. How long is forever? It is forever. And therefore, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the nation of Israel, the land belongs to the Jewish people. The headquarters, the capital of Israel has always been Jerusalem. And the Jewish people occupy only a postage stamp of the land that God gave them. Study Joshua, the first chapter, the first five verses, and it gives you the geographical location of the land that God restored back to Israel in the promised land. Today, Israel occupies just a postage stamp of the total land that God gave to her. Genesis 17, 1 through 8, God gave the land to the Jewish people forever, everlasting covenant, the scripture says. So how long is that? It is forever. So the land that Israel possesses today, the land that God gave, is called an everlasting possession. It is an everlasting possession. So what are the God-given boundaries in Genesis 15, 18? In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river Egypt unto the great river, to the river Euphrates. And ladies and gentlemen, when you look at a geographical map, you'll find the broad territory that belongs to Israel. And yet we have the politicians continue to say we need to divide Jerusalem. We need to have a Palestinian capital in Jerusalem. And by the way, there's some map makers, some map producers that have already shown parts of Jerusalem as being Palestinian. There's no such thing as an ethnic people called Palestinians. Israel, before it was called Israel, was called the land of Palestine, the Holy Land, as it is called one time in the scripture. Jerusalem is mentioned in the Bible 669 times, and it's not mentioned one time, not mentioned one time in the Quran. And yet the jihadists, the Arabs, the Palestinians, as they like to be called, are trying to say that they own the land and trying to make a claim to the land. And that's simply not true. And it's disingenuous for anybody to think that. And by the way, I read an article just recently and I found it fascinating. I'm not 100% in agreement with it, but there was an article online, 10 biblical reasons behind Trump's Jerusalem decision. And some of those, and I'll just skip through some of these. Number one, Jerusalem is mentioned in the scripture more than 600 times. Well, it's 669 times. For example, in Isaiah 62:1 says, for Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be still. God speaking. The scripture also says that, for example, King David declared 3,000 years ago that Jerusalem was the capital. In 2 Chronicles 6:6, but I chose Jerusalem for my name to be there, and I chose David to rule over my people, Israel. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, as this particular writer said, no electoral college or parliamentary elected officials or kings made Jerusalem the capital. God Almighty selected David as the leader of Israel and chose Jerusalem as the capital of the Jewish kingdom, where King David ruled for over 33 years. And the article goes on. It's a wonderful article. A couple of little places where I disagree, but I commend the article to you. 10 biblical reasons behind President Trump's Jerusalem decision. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe that President Trump sat down and read the Bible and said, this is the reason I'm going to do it. I believe God has placed him in the position he's in, and God's using him for things like this, I believe, to fulfill God's purpose and to bring about what God's word tells us. And ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, one day the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ himself, is going to return, and he'll return to Jerusalem, and he will rule and reign from the rebuilt temple, from the throne in that temple. He'll rule and reign for 1,000 years on this old earth. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. It's been my joy and pleasure to come to you by way of Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Looking forward to our next broadcast on Monday as we once again face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.